song is I Ain't Never, the opening track of Jimmy Vaughan's new album. Think of Texas blues, and the name of Jimmy Vaughan is sure to come very high on the list. He was the founder member of the Fabulous Thunderbirds, one of the seminal bands in the revival of modern blues. He was also the elder brother of the late Stevie Ray Vaughan. To an extent, Jimmy has always stood out among modern blues players for his economical style of playing, often described as less is more. Last year he released an album, Blues, Ballads and Favourites, an album of classics recorded in vintage style, and it proved to be his most successful album ever. This year, on July the 25th, he's releasing more Blues, Ballads and Favourites. Like the previous album, it features a host of classic blues and R&B tracks, and also, once again, the voice of Lou Ann Barton. Jimmy talked to Live Blues Info about the album and much more, and we hope soon to get a word with Lou Ann Barton as well. In the meantime, here's Jimmy Vaughan.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Good day to you.
Yeah, it's a good day. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clear, yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it sounds gurgly, though.
Okay, I don't think we can do too much about that. It's probably the distance involved, isn't it? Let's just make the best of it we can. Can you still hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, the album that I got last year, Blues Ballads Favourites, that was a real knockout to us.
Thank you.
It was like a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
And when I got your new album, I was really knocked out because I wasn't expecting another one, you know, in the same vein. But we liked it so much, we made it our record of the month on our website, liveblues.info.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, when I got going on the last one, it was so much fun, and I didn't want to stop, so I just kept, I had, you know, many more songs, and so I just kept going.
What was the concept? What made you do the first one? Because it was kind of different to anything you'd done before.
It was just a combination of things. I was a little bit afraid to do a lot of these songs, because I held them up really high.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to them my whole life, And I kept thinking, well, do we really need another, you know, bad version of this great song? But when I started doing them, it really felt good, and the band, you know, encouraged me and everything. So, well, I thought, well, why not? You know, nobody else is doing them, and it's fun. And then they really go over well at the gig. People love them, you know.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of absolute knockout versions of the on the first album, Just a Little Bit, and how Can You Be So Mean? I was blown away by those. You got such a great groove on those.
Yeah, they're fantastic songs, yeah. And people love them, and it's win-win.
Yeah, and the new album you've got more of the same. And can you tell me how did you go about selecting the songs for the new album?
Well, my new method of recording is I just pretend that I'm making 45.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I only have to come up with a couple.
Right.
And then I make them, and then I go home, and then I think, well, what's my next 45 going to be? And that's the way I've been doing it. Instead of coming up with 20 songs, I only have to come up with 2 or 3. And so, you know, it's been like that. And I have to do anything at all I can do to trick myself into, you know, doing this. The inspirational part, you know.
So do you find like you may be driving around or, you know, sitting in a bar drinking and all of a sudden an old song that you haven't thought of for a long time comes into your head or something like that?
You got to say that one again because I couldn't hear you.
I said, do you find that when you're driving or sitting in a bar or something, an old song will come into your head? And you'll decide to give it a try. Does it work like that?
Yeah, very much so. But I got to tell you, another tool is I go on YouTube, and YouTube is like a jukebox from the, you know, it's like a jukebox from the past. It's got everything on it. It's more difficult to figure out what to see if it's on there than. You know, you forget you run out of names to even think of, you know, but most everything is on there.
Yeah. You've picked some tunes on here, and you've changed the style quite radically. I mean, the opening song, It Ain't Never, that's a country tune in its original format, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I when I was a kid, my uncles all listened to Webb Pierce and Lefty Frizzell and Merle Travis and, you know, all those kind of guys. And so I've literally grown up listening to these tunes. And I always loved I Ain't Never, you know, by Webb Pierce. And so, but I just had it in my head that I could do it rock and roll, which it really was rock and roll at the time.
Yeah, it certainly works. It's a great opening track.
See, I love these songs because I don't know if they're rock and roll, blues, or country, and the answer is they're all of that.
Yeah.
You know.
You've got a couple of songs by one of my very favorite artists, which is the Bobby Charles songs, No Use Knocking, and the other one.
Which one is that?
The song No Use Knocking, track two. It's Bobby Charles, isn't it, originally?
Oh, Bobby Charles, yes, Bobby Charles. You know what, I used to play in with the Thunderbirds. We used to play in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And Bobby Charles would come out all the time, and he would always say, I think it's time to bring back Later Alligator. And we'd go, oh, Bobby, you know. And but he wrote so many great songs besides Alligator, you know. Just terrific.
I just discovered Bobby Charles about a year ago. I got an anthology of all the old stuff that he made, and I was knocked out. Such a great voice and such great songs.
Yeah, he was fantastic. You know, another guy I've been listening to is Jimmy Donnelly.
Yeah?
Do you know him?
Jimmy who, sorry?
Jimmy Donnelly. He's another guy from around New Orleans, you know.
Right.
But, you know, also on my new one here, I got to do Hang My Head and Cry, which is my first Gene Autry song that I've ever recorded.
Uh-huh.
That was a real trip.
Gene Autry, I remember him from way, way back, you know. As the cowboy, I used to see him on the TV as a cowboy, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of songs, too.
And you've got that tune Greenbacks on here. That's Ray Charles, I think, recorded that one, didn't
he? Yeah, Greenbacks by Ray Charles, and we were listening to it riding down the road in the bus, and, you know, it's got that fantastic baritone sax solo. And so we were arguing about who it was playing the solo, because it doesn't say on the record and that we had. So we thought, well, let's just do it instrumental, you know.
Great song, great track. And some of these tunes you've picked really go right back. And I looked Bad, Bad Whiskey, that's Amos Milburn, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of them, I like to pick the ones that are a little bit obscure, too, you know, maybe. Or it's just fun all the way around, you know?
Yeah, it's such a treasure trove of music that's, you know, that's neglected.
Yeah, you know, and I figure there's enough guys doing all the other stuff, so.
And the tune Teardrop Blues by Jimmy Liggins.
Jimmy Liggins, yeah. You're talking about Teardrop?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, Teardrop Blues. I love Jimmy Liggins. And, you know, he's got a lot of great songs. You know, I did Roy Milton on the last album, but I just love all those guys. All those guys, half of them were, you know, from my area, and they all went to L.A. and made all those records in the 40s, 50s, and so.
We know quite a lot of artists, but you're introducing us to new people as well. So Jimmy Liggins I hadn't heard of before. Now I've heard of him, and hearing you, I've gone back to listen to him, and he's really good.
Oh, he's fantastic. And these guys totally had their own style, didn't sound like anybody else. It was really hip stuff when it came out. And it's just a ball to play. I love to play Teardrops in person.
Yeah.
I don't know if we did the Jive and Gene tune, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people look at me funny, like they think I did who's the other guy that did Breaking Up Is Hard to Do?
Well, there's the Neil Sedaka tune, isn't there?
Yeah, people think that I'm, and I have to tell them, look, this is not Neil Sedaka.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with Neil Sedaka, but this is definitely Jivin' Gene and Cooking the Cupcakes, and it's all the Gulf Coast, you know.
So was the album recorded completely live?
Yes.
So any overdubs, or is it totally
live?
Well,
you know, if I had to re-sing the vocal, which, you know, a lot of them are, we sang the vocals over until we got it good, and then if we had to fix the horn section or something, you know, we would do it, but they're really live tracks, though.
Yeah, because the album's got a kind of ambience, the sound of a room, you know, that you're all there in a room together.
Yeah, well, my engineer and myself have, you know, I've made about four albums with him, and we've learned how to get that sound. We call it the jukebox sound, you know, because that's what we want to do, and it's the miking, and we break all the rules, and we don't care what they think about what you're supposed to do these days, you know.
Well, you know, those rules are made, I think the rules get in the way, don't they?
A lot of times.
Yeah, I think Bob Dylan said there ain't no rules, man. It's just I do what
I
do.
This is all about vibe, you know, and just getting the feeling, and it sounds good to me.
Yeah, well, we played this to a lot of people, and people are being knocked out by it.
Oh, fantastic!
Can you tell me what setup you use for the guitar and amp setup you use on the album?
Well, I used Fender Bassmans. And the reissues, mm-hmm. And I use my guitar. You know, I have a Jimmy Vaughn signature Strat, but they're basically just Fenders.
Right. So any effect at all, or is just the pure sound of the guitar into the amp?
Yeah, it's just the guitar into the amp.
It's very good. I mean, you've crystallized your kind of soloing style. I remember a long time ago you said that you talked about guitar playing not just being a bunch of licks strung together, you know, and you kind of talked about telling a story, I think, in your solos in an early interview of yours. And you seem to have boiled that right down on this album. The solos are all kind of, you know, they're really cut down and they say what they've got to say very simply.
Yeah. Well, you know... You just have to get in there and play what you feel, and you know, forget the rest. And that's really what we do. It's too simple.
Now, a couple of friends of mine asked me to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is your favorite out of the albums that you recorded with the Thunderbirds?
Oh, I would say the first ones. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Tough Enough. I thought that was good. I thought all of our albums had some really good songs on it.
Hmm.
But after we had Tough Enough, they wanted, I don't know what they wanted, but they didn't really want the bluesy stuff, you know. And so, but I thought the first album and I don't know, I liked all of our records. I mean, they were more like what I've done on my last albums here than...
Yeah, they are closer to what you're doing now, I've got to say that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know, it's really hard to explain what we were doing, because we were doing the same thing that we were just having fun, and you know, like when we first got the Thunderbirds going, they told us we weren't even trying to get a record deal, because we thought, you know, so many people said, well, what do you want to do that for? And you can't have a blues band, and that's finished. And we were just like, you know, we just said, screw it. We're just going to do it anyway, because that's what we like.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key, a big key in life, is just to do what you like, musically speaking. And it's not a job, you know?
Yeah. So what you at the moment? Are you on a nationwide tour?
Yeah, we've been out you know, I go on spurts. I go you know, 2 or 3 weeks here and a week here, and then come home for a week, and then, you know, it's all of the above.
Yeah. So any chance we're going to see you back in the UK this year?
Well, I heard that we were working on some stuff, and I know we'll be there next year for sure. So if you spin my record, they might call.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something, man. If you're on in the UK next year, I'm definitely going to come and see you.
Oh, you should, yeah, because I've got all these guys are in the band. They're on the show with me. They're out here on the bus with us.
So thinking about the future and that, have you got any kind of plans for what you're going to be recording next? Are you going to carry on in this vein, do you think?
Well, I've got about six in the can, and I'm just going to keep recording songs that I love. I still write songs, and so I'll probably I'm enjoying in the studio and playing too. So, you know, as long as it, the answer is yes.
That's great.
But, you know, I don't really have a big plan.
Just take every day as it comes, eh?
So just, it's fun to, you know, if a song strikes my fancy, we just try it. If it works, great.
Well, one of my favorite songs of yours is that Boom, Papa, Boom, Papa, Boom, that one.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that recorded in this kind of style that you're using now, actually.
Well, maybe I'll do it again. Maybe I'll do it again, because we still play that every night. So.
Okay, well, what the other thing is, I just recently caught up with that Jimmy Reed Highway album that you did with that guy, what's his name, Omar Van Dykes.
Now, what was that?
The album you made, the Jimmy Reed Highway.
Oh, the Jimmy Reed
with
Highway.
Omar Van Dykes.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Do you like that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Jimmy Reed was the guy who really introduced me to the blues. You know?
Listen, if I got stuck on an island with one record and it was Jimmy Reed, it'd be okay.
Yeah, those songs, they're so full of good hook lines.
His records, I mean, his songs, I never get tired of them, ever.
They're eternally popular. Everybody still plays them in England. You know, on our gigs, we still play his tunes.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And, you know, when I was a kid, I always talk about that, but in Dallas, everybody loved Jimmy Reed. You know, the kids liked it, the country and western people, the grown-ups, everybody liked it. You know, it's really like country music. It's like Hank Williams, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real good stuff. So have you got any plans to kind of do anything else with Omar Van Dykes or to do any more of that sort of thing?
Well, I heard that he was going to have his 50th anniversary being a musician. So I think we're going to play with him on his anniversary party. But I don't know. We know we made another record. We made two Jimmy Reed Highway records. The second one was called Big Town Playboy. But it's the same group.
Right. Well, listen, Jimmy, it's been great talking to you. I'm sorry the line hasn't been too good.
Well, as long as you can hear me, it was just a couple of times when I couldn't tell what you said, but I think we got it.
And thank you for giving us a couple of great albums. It's been a real privilege to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you playing in England, and I look forward to the next album that you're going to make.
All right, well, listen, thanks for your help, and thanks for listening. Thanks for liking it.
Okay, right. Man. Thanks. Nice to talk
Bye-bye.
To you.
Thank you.
So there you are, Jimmy Vaughan on more blues, ballads and favourites. Let's finish with another track from the album. This is Bad, Bad Whiskey. I slipped and I had a sip.
Made me lose.